Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
And nice to have you with us on a Saturday morning. This is the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Charlie, great to be with you this morning. How's your week going?
Thank you very much. My week was great. Had a good time.
A little hot. Were you able to get on the golf course all that much?
Not all that much. A couple times I went out and hit balls and played two or three holes. I got the luxury I can do that and keep the club in my hand for a while. But I'm into the gym.
Wow. Getting after it. Pumping gym. A little iron.
Pumping iron. I got Pilates going on.
Wow. Getting mobile, Charlie. Getting pliable, just like our man Tom Brady says. All right. Hey, a lot to get to today. You have a ton of golf tip requests flooding the Charlie Epps Show Twitter. We'll get to those questions, answer them for listeners starting in the next segment. Now, as far as professional golf is concerned, we're only 3 weeks away from the Open Championship at Royal Liverpool. Jones, DiVincenzo, Woods, McIlroy. I'm fired up for this one, Charlie. 3 weeks away. The tour is at the Rocket Mortgage this week. The John Deere will be next week. Then they go to the Renaissance Club for the Scottish Open, and then the British Open is here. What are you most looking forward to about the fourth major of the year?
I love the Open Championship. I like that type of golf. I learned how to play on the ground back in the 50s. You know, we didn't have these balls that flew so high and spun so much. You know, played with a little English ball, you know, 1.62.
Was the ball different in the States compared to overseas?
Oh yeah. They had the big ball and the little ball.
The big ball was in
the United States. And the little ball, the Dunlop 65, the Penfold, the English ball was smaller, you know, and it went through the air easier. Nicklaus played it. All the guys played it. But it got to a point where, you know, the balls were not as equal. And so they settled on the big ball, 1.68. inches, and ever since it's been the same.
Incredible. I did not know that. What if you can recall correctly, what year did that change? It's just amazing that at one point the world of professional golf was playing two different golf balls.
Yeah, it played, I'm going to say in the 70s. Okay. And it can't quite bring that up, but we can research that.
We'll get to a little bit on the Open, and Charlie, there's only six regular season events left on the season. The playoffs are right around the corner. And as you know, the number of players that will go to the playoffs has been reduced from 125 to 70. You have names this year like Justin Thomas, Shane Lowry, Keith Mitchell, guys who maybe you're not going to make the playoffs. And as far as shortening the amount of players that go to the playoffs, do you think that was a good idea for the PGA Tour?
No. I mean, there's limited amount of spots anyway, and today we probably got 2,000 guys that are
that
good enough
win.
To play tour golf.
Yeah.
Europe, all over Asia, all over South Pacific, you know. So it's a turmoil. There's turmoil. Nothing has been settled yet about LIV and where the money's going to come, and everything's kind of gone underground. Until I'm not sure when they're going to make an announcement. I'm sure they're working on it to come up with a solution. But there's always going to be a lot of people get hurt on this, and I hate that.
Yeah. Well, when you look at what it took to finish 125th on the PGA Tour over a season, it took about two top 10s and seven top 25s in about 30 starts. You could miss about 17 cuts over a season and still make the playoffs. Now you have Adam Scott. Adam Scott's had a good year, Charlie.
Yes.
He's 76 on the FedEx Cup standings.
Yep.
after making 13 of 14 cuts, and he has five top 25 finishes. He's had a great year.
You think he wishes he had signed with Liv?
No. I think Adam Scott has a couple more PGA Tour wins in his future. Maybe now that they're all coming together, possibly. But Adam Scott, he doesn't look like he's too worried. He seems like he's made smart financial decisions throughout his career.
Yeah, he probably got a good bank account.
I would imagine so, Charlie.
Yeah.
He took your guy down to the Masters one year. Remember that?
Why'd you have to say that? Just spoiled my day. Spoiled my day.
You know, as far as last week is concerned, the Travelers Championship, Keegan Bradley, our final piece review for this first segment. It was the 13th elevated event of the season. It was the second tour title of the year. Player in his late 30s, Keegan Bradley, a guy who's had to weather some storms as far as the putting is concerned. What was your experience like watching Keegan get it done on Sunday?
Well, number one, I always have a little downer after the U.S. Open. The U.S. Open was full of different activities and great golf.
You lose your buzz a little bit, Charlie?
Yeah, and then they fly across, the United States. And I've done that. Uncle played it up in Washington at, what was that name of that horrible golf course?
Chambers Bay.
Chambers Bay. And you fly, across, the continent, great United States, and you land. And it's a downer, but it's an incredible. It's a good golf course. It's these guys make it look like it's a pitch and putt.
Yeah,
and it's not. It's got some good holes. But you give them soft greens. They're playing darts. Keegan was incredible in his play. But he got nervous the last three holes because that's a $5 million win, and he's got those two young kids, and now he's in a position where he's going to move forward. But it was exciting, and it's a great the community there in
Cromwell
really gets behind this, and people run it for charity, and this tournament makes over $20 million for local charities. And that with this new life we have with new ungodly money, I don't know where charity is going to end up. But that tournament has produced many great champions and a lot of money for charity.
No doubt, Charlie. I mean, hopefully, you look at communities like Silvis, Illinois, Houston, Texas, what we have going here with the Houston Open. That's something that's definitely going to have to stick around. We're going to have to hear from Jay Monahan and PGA Tour.
Who?
Jay Monahan.
Where is he?
We don't know where he is.
He
fled.
I'm afraid for the man.
We're going to go over some new PIF PGA Tour details, which has Jay Monahan as the CEO of the new entity. We'll get to some details on that, but we have not heard from Jay Monahan. We have not heard from Jimmy Dunn. We have not heard from any of these key players since we last talked about it about 4 weeks ago. Charlie, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No. What?
Jimmy Dunn. I mean, he appeared.
Yeah.
He appeared. He told us what he did in negotiating the contract, and kind of led us to believe that everything was hunky dory, but it's not. There's so much has to be litigated, and they say it's over, but I don't know. I haven't heard enough good news.
Yeah, we don't know until we see a schedule,
yeah.
Charlie.
Yeah.
We need to see a 2024 schedule, because at that point we'll know, okay, is Liv going to go on? We've got some details this week, that said that in this initial framework agreement that's
right.
been released that all parties, the DP World Tour, PGA Tour, and PIF, are going to have to come together and do their best to get LIV players world ranking points. So when I hear that, it sounds like LIV's going to go on past 2023, but we don't know how it's going to come together with the PGA Tour, so we'll have to wait and see.
And now you have this NIL. What is that?
Yeah. Well, you can pay amateurs. You can pay amateurs.
My grandson.
Yeah, we're still waiting for that to get into golf. I mean, I'm sure if you ask Charlie Wiley,
it's happening.
Yeah, yeah.
It's happening.
He's getting some money in his pocket.
Well,
It's not against the rules. It's not like the Pony Express anymore, Charlie. He's allowed to do it.
But the other kids are, Sam Bennett.
Yeah.
Sam Bennett got a pocket full.
Sam Bennett's playing well this week. I mean, it took it 7-under opening round one, was top 10. Fell off a little bit yesterday, Charlie. He's back in the mix, though. 4-under through 11, back to T19. Now, Sam Bennett, Charlie, he's made it 4 of his 5 first professional cuts.
Yep.
He hits a 283 off the tee.
Yep.
I was a little surprised him play a little better at Travelers last week when, on a shorter golf course. But Sam Bennett playing very well. Charlie, I've got one more bone to pick with you as far as the Travelers. Now, all of the broadcast had to say for 4 days was that Keegan was trying to win his hometown event. Growing up, Keegan never lived in Connecticut once.
He's from Vermont.
Oh, yeah, he's from Vermont. He moved to New Hampshire in 8th grade when his dad took an assistant pro job at Portsmouth Country Club. And then he attended his senior year in Hopkinton, Massachusetts. He never lived in Cromwell, Connecticut, ever.
But he went to the golf tournament as a young boy.
Yeah, you're right. Well, yeah. It was the first one he went
first,
to.
First one. Can you remember the first tour event that you went to?
Yes, Bay Hill.
You know where mine was?
Where?
Rancho Park in L.A.
For what event? Genesis?
The L.A. Open.
Wow.
Genesis didn't even exist. This is 1963.
It was just called the L.A. Open, huh?
That's it. Where Charlie Sifford won.
So when you first walked onto a tour caliber golf course, what was that feeling like?
Well, I'd just come up from Argentina. I was up looking at universities and trying to decide where I was going to go to school. And my cousin was the tennis pro at the YMCA in Beverly Hills on Whistler Boulevard. And he said, well, why don't you go over there for $4? I didn't have $4. No. But I saw all the guys, and it was eye-opening. I'd seen professional golf in Argentina. I'd seen Arnold Palmer and Sam Snead in the World Cup and the Jockey Club, but a regular tour event, it wet my whistle.
Incredible. When we come back, we're going to answer your questions as far as golf tips are concerned right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Back after this.
The Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps, here's Will Doctor.
Nice to have you aboard. Welcome back to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity HR that makes a difference. Taylor Moore and Taylor Pendrith in a two-way tie at the top of the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit. If you remember, Taylor Moore earlier this year won the Valspar Championship. He'll be looking to close his second
Innisbrook
win of the season. Innisbrook, Copperhead. Great good, golf course.
Good golf course.
And over at the U.S. Senior Open at Century Point in Stephen Points, Wisconsin, Bernhard Langer is looking to become the oldest winner in U.S. Senior Open history as he tries to fend off Rod Pampling and Retief Goosen, who are 2 and 3 on that leaderboard there at the U.S. Senior Open. Charlie, before we get going, answering a couple golf tip questions, let's take a quick break to talk about an HR company that is helping businesses grow so communities can prosper.
Brought to the station one of my favorite books. It's Take Care of Your People by Paul Sarvadi. And he is the chairman of Insperity. And that's his philosophy. We're in the people business. Everybody. We got to get along. And Paul has cornered the ability to take care of the people that work for him, that take care of his customers. And it's an HR company. It has a strategy that will really keep your business growing every year, year over year, as they say. So if you're a small business owner and you want to grow your business, get this book. If it's a Forbes book, Take Care of Your People, by Paul Sarvadi, and you'll get a better feel for what Insperity is all about because the chairman put his secrets on paper.
Incredible. Boy, 25, 30 years, Charlie?
Oh, 1986.
Incredible.
It went from zero to $6.5 billion. And he knows. He knows. So I'm really honored that they're our sponsor. And I think I'd be honored if you all, the small business owner, give them a call and see if they can help you. And I guarantee you they will. So Insperity, a company that is rich in tradition, and it's a company that's HR all the way. It has other benefits too, but predominantly HR.
Taking care of people, Charlie.
Taking care of people.
Great work there. Last segment, we wrapped up our final thoughts on Keegan's win at the Travelers. In case you missed that, you can find that on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN97.5.com, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Let's get to the messages here. First one comes from Warren in Sugarland. Charlie, I was watching the Travelers last week and noticed how much spin Scottie Scheffler puts on his wedge shots from 100 yards and in. How can I get shots to stop on command rather than roll out?
How far does he hit his wedge?
Well, Warren is going to hit his 58th degree, what, about 75 yards?
75, hitty.
Scotty's going to hit his about 110.
If you look at Scotty, he's 6'2".
Yeah.
His swing is very upright, and so his attack angle is sharp. And he has the ability to put miles per hour into the back of the golf ball, hit the ball first, ground second. And that's the main thing you have to do before you want to spin the ball, but you can't hit the grass. You've got to have good posture, and if you watch Scotty, he stands really tall. Nicklaus was that way also. And put a clean face of the club on the golf ball, it will climb up the face and that'll spin.
Get a little check for you.
That's it, yeah.
Now, Warren asked about Scheffler. Yeah, that's a good one to emulate. He's fifth on the PGA Tour in stroke scan chipping this year. But if Warren could watch one other person on video, another person that is just an excellent pitcher and chipper of the golf ball, who would it, from any generation, who would it be in your opinion?
Well, if you're on the PGA Tour today's, they're all good chippers and pitchers. And get a body type that's close to yours. If you're 5'7" or 5'8", you might watch who's making a great comeback right now.
Brian Harmon.
Well, Brian Harmon, he's left-handed. But, he's a little guy. Somebody that
Ricky
that,
Fowler.
Ricky Fowler, yeah. That's the name I'm looking for. Ricky has chipped in the last four or five tournaments for Eagles.
Yeah.
And you can copy his technique, but it's in a you got to control the amount of swing, and the back swings don't have to be very 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 long, and the follow through is an abbreviated because you're running the club head into the ball into the ground. So you don't have to have a big follow-through either.
Incredibly. That's how Ricky Fowler has finished 17th or better in nine of his last 10 starts on the PGA Tour, just chipping phenomenally, putting phenomenally. He's back. This could be the week that Ricky gets it done, Charlie. We're all waiting for it. He had a great chance at the U.S. Open, closed with the 76, but he's staying consistent. Seems like he's in the right frame of mind. I would like to see the Sunday orange come out for Ricky, full orange, head to toe. Just like 10 years ago, The last 2 weeks, Charlie, it's been the orange shirt with the khaki pants.
Yep.
Let's see full Ricky on
full
Sunday.
Full Ricky.
We need, that it's identity for
you
Ricky.
And he's driving the ball extremely well. And the golf course there in Detroit is, Donald Ross built in the 1900s. And the tight fairways,
yeah.
and big trees. So you got to drive the ball good. So he's got it all going on. Butch is dialed in. Ricky's golf game for him.
Yeah, he's a great Open Championship player with the British around the corner. That could be a big spot for him to come back around there at Hoylake. So that's spin as far as shipping and pitch outs are concerned. We'll continue on the short game questions. This comes from Mike in League City. Charlie, my bunker game has been much better since we last spoke. I can consistently hit the chunk and run out of the bunker if I have some green to work with. But anytime I'm short-sighted, I either hit under it or blade it a mile over the green. How can Mike learn to hit a short-sighted nip-tuck shot out of the bunker?
Don't get short-sighted.
Wow. It starts in the fairway, doesn't it? This is more of a course management question,
right,
isn't it?
Right, yeah.
Why are you there in the first place? Because they all watch Phil, Charlie.
Yeah.
Everyone's trying to break a pin out there. You end up in this bunker. You're short-sighted. You got to open the face. What do?
You know.
You close your eyes and pray?
Well, no, not really. But, you know, the bunker shot is the only shot in golf where you don't have to hit the ball. You've got to learn to skim the sand out of the bunker so that the golf ball goes out with the sand. And the ball is going to go the direction the sand goes. So, number one, you've got to have an understanding on how to set up to a shot in the bunker. And usually you dig your feet in, you lower your center of gravity so that now the club is going to go underneath the ball. So, number one, you don't want to hit the ball. You want to hit the sand. And number two, you choke down on the club, and you got to understand that the wedge is designed with what's called bounce on the bottom of the club, which will allow, if it's used correctly, the club face will skid underneath and slide and take a layer of sand out. That you don't want to dig, you don't want the shaft in front of the face, you want the face going in front of the hands, and the right hand goes under the left hand. So it's you got to spend time in the bunker.
Do you feel that hand start to cast on the way down?
Sure. Or,
a little bit early. That's release. A little bit of a savvy move, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, yes. Any good bunker, you've got to let the club face go in front of the shaft. And use the bounce and use the skidder. Don't want to dig. You want to slide it underneath.
As far as digging the feet in at setup,
yeah,
you know, unless the ball is below your feet, is the reason you're digging in because you are not trying to hit the ball? You're trying to hit behind it?
Yes, sure. You're lowering your center of gravity and you want to look cool.
I know there's got to be a better reason than that, Charlie.
Well, you know, the guys get in there.
Oh, they're digging angels, you know?
You know, it's right. Remember when we're in Michigan and we're watching the Detroit. I grew up, you know, maybe 30 miles from that golf course. You know, you're digging angels, you know, in the snow. You know,
that's what it. When I'm playing with my weekend pals, that's what when they get in the bunker. I mean, they're digging a hole in the bunker, Charlie.
Yeah.
We'll come back with more questions here on the other side. Let's take a break to tell you about my friends over at Brookside Equipment. Tom and Adam Blimovich are the great people who own 9 Houston locations, and it is the premier dealership for all John Deere equipment in Houston. Whether you're a homeowner, rancher, contractor, or institution, the Brookside team is there to provide you with the equipment solution and full-service support you deserve. As far as the golf is concerned, one of their partners is Houston Country Club, Whispering Pines Golf Club, which is the number one golf club in Texas, and includes Memorial Park Golf Course, which is home to the PGA Tour's Houston Open. No matter your situation, Brookside has the deal you need. Go see them at one of their 9 locations in Houston. Visit their website at brooksideusa.com. Tell them you're here right here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on ESPN 97.5 Houston. Once again, that is Brookside Equipment.
Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps.
Here's Will Doctor.
All right, welcome aboard Charlie Epps Golf Hour here on ESPN 975.
Is that DC?
What's that?
The singer.
That's AC/DC.
AC/DC.
Money Talks. PGA Tour agreement we're about to talk.
I flew from San Francisco to Houston, Texas with him.
What's his – with who? The lead?
The lead.
What was that experience like?
It was cool. I didn't know who he was. And I had a
magazine. Brian Johnson?
Yeah. I had a magazine that had all these old cars. And he says, hey, can I borrow your magazine? I said, sure. Man, I love old cars too, you know. We had a good time.
You tell him you built a car that went from Argentina to San Francisco?
I didn't tell him that, so – so I get home, and he continues on, and I get off, and nice guy. I gave him the magazine, and Next day, I'm with my friend Dick Harmon. I said, I was with some dude on the airplane, and the AC/DC. You what? You know who he is? I said, no, he's the lead singer of one of the most greatest bands ever. I said, he's got a real raspy voice. Yeah, yeah. And he had his cool hat on. And
y'all were just sitting in, you know, business class?
First class. See, that's the advantage of sitting in first class. Right. You get.
You're sitting next to Brian Johnson, AC/DC.
That's right.
Listen, no, absolute legend. I'm a big AC/DC fan. They live on. I mean, they're going to live on for generations. That, to me, that's the special touch of it. You get bands like Rolling Stones, bands like AC/DC, these bands that can live on generations. It's incredible to me. You know, it really is. Onward and upward we go. Last segment, Charlie answered a few short game questions from listeners. In case you missed that, you can find it on our podcast at ESPN97.5.com, Apple Podcasts, or Spotify. Charlie, looking at the U.S. Senior Open, looking at both leaderboards this week, the U.S. Senior Open, Bernhard Langer has a one-shot lead at Century World over Rod Pampling, Retief Goosen, Jerry Kelly, Dickie Pride. Ernie Els is three shots back, Steve Stricker, three shots back. You know, there's a lot of people out there saying that this golf course, this product that the seniors are putting on this week is actually a little bit better than what we saw at the U.S. Open a couple weeks ago.
Well, it's a marvelous golf course up in Wisconsin. Steve Stricker, you know, he's going to be hard to beat this weekend. But Patrick Harrington.
Now, that's a home event.
That's right.
Stricker in Wisconsin.
But Patrick Harrington finished 24th in the regular U.S. Open. Now he's playing back-to-back senior open, regular open. He's probably a little worn out.
Six back?
Yeah.
Still a chance?
But I
still top 15.
Do I want Bernhard Langer to win? Sure, he represents the game well. It would be a great victory, and he'd surpass Hale Irwin in total champion tour victories. So it'll be a good weekend.
Now you played with Harrington this spring.
Yes.
At the Insperity Invitational.
Yes.
When you look at what he could offer from the point of knowledge about golf, were you impressed by Patrick Harrington?
Oh, sure. Even from the days when I was going with Ankel Cabrera to all these events, and Ankel, we'd play a few rounds with Patrick, and then after the round, we'd go to the range, and he practiced harder than anybody I knew out there. And Sam Torrance's father was his coach, and he had some ideas on what to do and drills, and he really has.
He was not a player who was afraid to take a chance.
No, not at all. He won the British Open twice and the PGA at Oakland Hills, and then he'd been a Ryder Cup player and
Hall of Fame this year,
and he won late in life on the regular tour, so. Interesting guy, nice guy, nice, hard to understand.
He has a little bit of that Irish voice, Charlie. We'll get back to U.S. Senior Open here momentarily. We got a couple good questions coming your way as far as course management, shot shaping is concerned, so we'll get to those. Let's go through a couple updates as far as the world of golf is concerned. Charlie, number one, the framework agreement to the PGA Tour and PIF deal was released this week, answered not all, a couple of our questions regarding the future of the PGA Tour. Number 1A, NewCo. That's the name keep in mind. NewCo will be the name of the LLC that will hold all of the PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and PIF's for-profit assets. Jay Monahan will be the CEO of NewCo. We have not heard a word from Monahan since he went on the disabled list a few weeks ago. Charlie, the more that we wait for the schedule, the more we wait for more details. Do you think this was, and we don't want to assume on here, was this simply to step aside so he could focus on this agreement?
I think he's got health problems.
Okay.
I think he had a nervous breakdown with all the pressure that he was under, and that's just my opinion. I haven't heard that officially or anything like that. But does that mean, I'd rather have him call the commissioner of the PGA Tour, PGA Golf. NewCo has nothing.
New company. Really? That's what they came up with?
Come
NewCo?
On. NewCo?
How about a little pop and sizzle, Charlie?
That's it.
The one that worries me most, not worries me, but the aspect, the detail that we found out this week that has made my stance on Liv wrong for the last 2 years is here. Charlie, the agreement calls for all parties to use their best efforts to secure official world golf ranking recognition for Liv events and players. Charlie, that means Liv will go on past this season. You'll see team golf in some form. You'll see Liv in some form past this year when 3 weeks ago we heard from Rory that we will see team golf, but it won't be Liv golf.
Yeah.
How do you read between the lines?
All those
there?
Secondary
events,
you know, don't pan out.
Yeah.
You know, the
Norman's event in Naples.
That, but then the tennis. Team tennis never got
Cup.
Off, and golf has trained people to see a 72-hole tournament, to watch all the great stars, plenty of activity from morning till night, no shotgun starts, you know,
pants, slacks.
How
about some respect for the game, Charlie?
Yeah,
shorts.
I like shorts.
Well, if they had a Liv golf event in Houston, Texas, and beginning in July,
100 degrees,
you know, I'd say we're all in for shorts. We still don't have the 2024 schedule from President Tyler Dennis, which we're impatiently waiting on. That will give us the final answer to what the future of the PGA Tour will look like. We did hear yesterday that Utah's Black Desert Resort will begin hosting a PGA Tour event in the fall of 2024. I've heard from sources that the PGA Tour will return to Colorado in the coming years. Other than that, Charlie, we're in the dark as far as the future of this schedule is concerned. That's number one.
We do know that Houston has a spring date.
Spring date.
That's it.
Texas Children's Hospital, title sponsor.
Sponsor, that's really good.
It should be a $20 million purse somewhere in the spring.
Well, if it can be done, Jim Crane will do it.
Isn't he incredible?
He has, yes. He's brought a lot to the table, and his contacts are endless, and I'm happy we got him.
Rafael Montero, I think, he came in for relief last night, did well. Not to get away from the golf, but, you know,
yeah.
Jim Crane signed Montero. He's been struggling a little bit this year. 3-year deal for Montero. Now starting to get it together. Same with Presley last night. Great save. Go Stros. That's number one is the PIF PGA Tour agreement. Number two, Charlie. World number 17, Justin Thomas, missed his third cut in his last four starts this week at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. Okay, as we talked about with JT in the first segment, he was 66th on the FedEx Cup standings heading into this week. He will likely drop out of the top 70 at the conclusion of this event, which means he has 6 weeks left to get back in the top 20 and qualify for the playoffs. This is a player that has never finished worse than 12th in 9 years on the PGA Tour. So our expectations of him are probably a little bit out of control. But if you're, you know, you've coached major champions, Charlie, if you're Mike Thomas, if you're John Graham, how do you get your boy back on track?
That's a good question. I'm not sure why this is happening. I mean, you watch him swing, and he hasn't changed that much. You know, he hadn't been too long. He won his second PGA championship. But you go in and get in slumps, and you start thinking badly, and go from bad to worse, and so he's resilient. He's he's a class guy. His dad's a PGA golf pro. They'll work it out, and it'll probably motivate him more. He's probably a little embarrassed. I mean, you know, like he said on the telecast the other day, he's usually thinking today about the tour championship, and now he's got to worry about. But he might win the British Open. We never know.
Right. Rahm, Scheffler, Homa, these guys won early. They can relax for the next 6 weeks. Yeah. Guy like Justin Thomas has to pick things back up here over the next 6 weeks. We'll be right back with some picks and predictions and more lessons from the Golf Doctor right here. Charlie Epps Golf Hour, presented by Insperity, HR that makes a difference.
Listening to the Charlie Epps Golf Hour on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Powered by Insperity.
With the golf doctor himself, Charlie Epps. Here's Will Doctor.
All right, let me tell you a little bit more about my friends over at the Swing Sound app, which you can find on the App Store or Google Play. One thing that all amateurs and weekend golfers struggle with is consistent rhythm and tempo in their golf swing. You either swing the club too slow or too quick, especially under pressure, when you have a big putt to win your weekend skins game or a late afternoon match against a buddy. And what Marius Filmotter, the founder of Swing Sound Golf and the inventor of Sand Putt Lab, has figured out is that almost all bad golf shots are caused by bad tempo, because study results show that all good golfers share a common and consistent rhythm when they swing the club. The other feature of Swing Sound that I love is the audio that helps you create your tempo. Most of these metronome apps play a rhythm that sounds like an alarm or a school bell, but Filmotter has worked with some of the best audio engineers in the world to create a sound that is comforting to your ear as you use the Swing Sound app to master the rhythm in your golf swing. Do yourself a favor. Take control of your golf performance and establish your swing tempo by downloading the Swing Sound app, available for only $4.99 on the App Store or Google Play. We continue along here on the Charlie Epps Golf Hour, and back to the messages we go. Once again, if you have a question for the golf doctor as far as your game is concerned, you can reach him on Twitter at Charlie Epps Show. Charlie, we move to a full swing question from Dave in Lake Charles. And Dave says, Charlie, I'm a 10 handicap that predominantly plays a fade from tee to green. However, some days the ball starts too far left and never fades back to the target. Does the ball start too far left due to the club face or the direction of the club path?
The club path.
Is there? Oh, yeah, perfect, perfect. Yeah. Ready to roll. Start that one over, yeah. Charlie. Once again, the question is, Dave is wondering, does the ball start too far left due to the club face or the direction of the club path?
Okay, two things. You're always trying to improve the club face at impact and the swing path as it approaches the golf ball. The ball will always start the direction the club is being swung, and it'll end up the direction the face is aimed. So to answer your question, it starts with the swing path.
So Dave's what
swing Dave, path what, is too far left.
Left, possibly a shut face, or are we not worried about the face?
Well, you're always worried about the face, but the ball will start left, and then if the face is open, it will curve back to the right with the spin that you put on the ball from the angle of attack and also contact. Right. You know, it's if you make good contact with the face open, it's going to go to the right. If you make good contact with the face square to close to the target, it's going to go left.
Okay. Understood. We stay on a full swing question here. And we'll stay in the state of Louisiana as Trevor from Baton Rouge can't stop topping the ball, Charlie. Says he hits his driver low on the face and has a ball flight that doesn't go above tree lines. He says his iron game is even worse as he tops the ball about every fifth shot. What do you have for Trevor the topper?
Tennis.
A tennis swing?
No, take up tennis.
Oh, just stop golf altogether.
I'm just being a smart ass, but that's...
You know, when you...
But no, topping is a question of starting with your posture at address. And if you have too much knee flex, the instinct is as you come into the ball, you're going to straighten your legs and the club will come up and just catch the top of the golf ball. So you're going to have to stand tall, or you're going to have to stand to where as you... You know, it's not a throw, but it's a swing the club into the ball and collect the ball off the grass. You want to keep your head nice and steady, nice and level. You don't want to be bobbing up and down. You stay level.
And that is a setup.
It starts with a setup. Most of your mistakes are pre-swing, you know, the result of too much knee flex, too much weight on one foot, too much, you know, like my good friend Ed Fiore, I asked him for a question. You know, he just won a tour event.
Yeah.
I had dinner with him and Blaine the other night. We had so much fun.
How was that? Second at a tour event with Blaine McAllister. Not a lot of people know that.
That's right.
Why don't you brag about that a little bit more often, Charlie?
Because it wasn't first.
What, Sunday you had the pink pants on?
That's it.
Hold out a 7-iron from 172. What hole was that?
118 on Saturday. Yeah, shot of the day on CNN.
Yeah.
But Eddie Fiore's tip to me, and Eddie's about 5 foot nothing. You know, he's the shortest guy to ever win a tour.
He's shorter than Ian Woosnam.
Yeah, that's right. So he said, hey, pro, I said, Eddie, give me a swing tip. He said, well, I think you got too much weight on both feet.
It's a weight issue.
Weight issue.
Now, tell me a little bit more about this dinner with Ed and Blaine. What are some of the stories that you guys are sharing? Well, once again, if you don't know, Blaine McAllister, five-time PGA Tour winner. Yeah.
Blaine.
When did you first meet Blaine McAllister?
I met him when he was a freshman at the University of Houston. He came out with Coach Williams, introduced him to me, I'd let him play golf at Houston Country Club, and Blaine and I became, you know, really great friends with Paul Marchand. But it was through Dave Williams created that relationship, and Blaine.
Legendary University of Houston head coach, Dave Williams.
And we had so much fun. But with Blaine and his wife, Claudia, they were driving through Houston on their way up to see Blaine's brother in San Angelo and then up to Montana for the summer. You know, when you're a rich retired pro, you rent a house up in Montana.
You watch Yellowstone in the winter and then you go live up there in the summer. That's how it goes.
Yeah. So he loves that Ed Fiore. They go fishing and hunting a lot. And so we went with his Ed Fiore's wife, Deborah, and we had just good old times. Good. You know, Eddie is really an incredible story where he had his heart transplant. He survived that. I mean, can you believe that?
Incredible.
I mean, we're talking to a guy who's got somebody else's heart, but now he's got a heart. So. He's got a few other problems, but he's working through them.
Great news. We'll have him on the show soon.
Yeah.
Charlie, when you look back at the work that how did Dave Williams possibly bring Blaine McAllister, Freddie Couples, and Jim Nantz together? I know that he was running a powerhouse. Houston has, you know, their top 10 in golf national championships ever.
Right.
But look at how their story has progressed. We saw Blaine at the Insperity Invitational. Presenting the Dave Marr Award to Jim Nantz,
right.
to see them come together, 40 years later? Very special fraternity that University of Houston golf team.
They were all roommates at University of Houston, Freddie Couples and Blaine and Jim Nantz, back in 1979, 80, you know. And we became very close friends along with Dick Harmon. We did so much. With those guys, and we had so much fun. But Coach Williams he was early on in recruiting, and at one time his team he'd have 20 stars on his team. And
so he jumped on it early.
He jumped on it early.
He'd find the freshmen and sophomores in high school.
And Nick Faldo came to University of Houston and lasted about a cup of coffee.
Same with Colin Montgomery, right?
Yeah.
HBU.
HBU, yes.
Okay.
So it was a place to come, and the great Cougars, you know, Bruce Litsky, Bill Rogers, all those guys.
Is Billy Ray Brown a Longhorn or a Cougar?
No, wait a minute. You better not see. He's a Cougar. He won the NCAA when he was a freshman.
Wow.
And but all the good players, and Ed Fiore came in from L.A. And coach would, you know, have them a tournament every week to qualify to go to play a tournament. And they played Houston Country Club at River Oaks. Atascocita was their home golf course. And it was good times.
Incredible. Incredible. All right, Charlie, let's wrap this up. Looking at this U.S. Senior Open leaderboard, you have Bernhard Langer, one-shot lead over Rod Pampling. You have Jerry Kelly, Retief Goosen, Dickie Pride, Ernie Els, Steve Stricker, Miguel Angel Jimenez, who we watched at the Invitational, just put on an absolute clinic on the range. He's one of my favorites. Who do you think gets it done at Century World at Stevens Point, Wisconsin this weekend?
You've got Bernhard
Langer at 3-under, 71-68 to start it off. Rod Pampling, PGA Tour winner, won at 49 years old at Shriners. I think it was 2018 or 2019.
Yeah.
He's 2-under, one shot back. Then you have Jerry Kelly, Retief Goosen, and Dickie Pride, 2 shots back, tied for third.
You know, Stricker and Kelly are just a couple strokes back. So I'm gonna pick that tandem. One of the kids from Wisconsin going to win.
Steve Stricker.
Probably Stricker.
You got Stricker?
Yes.
I've got Dickie Pride, the heart of Alabama. Played high school hoops with Robert Horry. I'm going to go with Dickie Pride. Charlie, great job today. We'll see you next Saturday. Thank you, John.
Bye, everybody.
Behind the ones and twos. Great work today.
See you.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.